Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for standing by, and welcome to the ARENA REIT 2017 Interim Result Presentation conference call. At this time, all participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session, at which time, if you wish to ask a question, you will need to press star one on your telephone. I must advise you that this conference is being recorded today, Monday, the 20th of February, 2017. I would now like to hand the conference over to your first speaker today, Mr. Bryce Mitchelson. Thank you. Please go ahead.
Thanks, Rachel, and good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining us for this ARENA REIT Interim Results conference call, reporting for the six months ended 31 December 2016. My name is Bryce Mitchelson, and I'm the Managing Director for ARENA REIT. This morning, we'll be walking through our half-year results presentation, which has been released onto the ASX reporting platform. It's also available on our website. In addition to the half-yearly presentation this morning, we also released onto the ASX two other key documents, being our ASX announcement highlighting the key financial metrics and activities of the period, and also the financial statements for the half-year with the Appendix 4D statement. So just moving on to the agenda, and so just moving to slide two, and joining me here this morning, members of ARENA's senior management team, including Mr. Gareth Winter, ARENA's Chief Financial Officer, who will walk us through the key financial metrics of both the profit and loss statement and balance sheet. And also here with me is Mr. Rob de Vos, ARENA's Head of Property, who will provide an operational update on the property portfolio and discuss some of the more broader property market conditions which are present at this time. At the end of the presentation, we will open the call up to questions, and I anticipate this presentation will take about 35 minutes, depending on the extent of questions received. So now just moving to page four of the presentation. And look, I'm very pleased to report this morning that ARENA's had a very good six months, and this has flowed through to some very strong and excellent operating results ahead of our expectations that we indicated to the market back in August last year. Today, we've announced a half-yearly statutory profit of 59.6 million dollars, which has increased 44% period on period. And this is derived off a net asset base at the start of the financial year of about 357 million dollars. And if you strip out the non-cash flow items such as property revaluations and other below-the-line items, our net operating profit, which is a closer approximation to what we distribute out to investors, was 14.2 million dollars, and this was up 13% period on period. This equates to a net underlying operating earnings per security of 0.0611, and that compares to our distributions, which we paid out to investors over the half-year, over the six months, of 0.0585 per security. So that 13% earnings growth period on period must place ARENA near the top of the REIT sector. It's certainly much higher than our closest peers. And if I look back over the last 4 years since ARENA listed on the ASX in June 2013, ARENA's earnings are now averaged, earnings growth has now averaged 10% per annum, and that's in context with what I believe to be a very, relatively high-yielding and low-risk investment. From a balance sheet perspective, total assets as at 31 December 2016 increased up to 584 million dollars. That was up 14% period on period, and that was really driven by revaluations, the completion of some developments, and some new site acquisitions. The net asset value, that increased up to 1.74 dollar per security. That's up 13% over the six-month period. And gearing edged up a fraction to 27.8%, but still below the A-REIT sector average and well below our maximum gearing thresholds and policies that we have. So now just turning to page five, portfolio highlights. And ARENA's strong earnings results really been driven by the performance of its underlying property portfolio. And please have a close look at the strength of some of these portfolio metrics. I think they're very good. On a like-for-like basis, we've been able to achieve an average rent increase over the six-month period of 4.9%, and that was driven by some strong market rent review outcomes and management initiatives, and Rob will go into a bit more detail later in the presentation on these. At the same time, we've been able to increase the weighted average remaining lease term in our portfolio. That's now up to 10.6 years. That's up 32.5% from the 8 years back in December 2014. And if I look only at the ELC or the childcare portfolio, the WALE for that part of the portfolio is 11.5 years, and that's quite longer than any of our competitors. So really, tenants want longer leases on arena properties, and they continue to renew and extend their leases wherever possible. And I think that must say something about the quality, or the real quality of our portfolio. And when I talk about quality, I'm really referring to the underlying economics of, you know, things like the sustainability of the rents, the underlying business risk, the quality of the operator. And the asset really needs to be well suited to its catchment area. I think this is particularly relevant when investing in specialised real estate, such as the childcare sector and healthcare sectors. Strong rental growth, driven by portfolio management and development activity together with firming yields, supported further growth in the value of the underlying property portfolio. The average passing yield across the rents portfolio has now firmed 40 basis points to 6.9%. And that passing yield, I think, still looks very attractive in the current environment, and in context also of our long leases and embedded rent growth mechanisms, as compared to other traditional types of property and even other types of childcare lease structures. So moving on to slide six, Arena's strong performance in the first half has led the board to announcing an upgrade in its FY17 distribution guidance for investors. This guidance has now been lifted to 12 cents per security. That's up from 11.7 cents per security. And it's based on what we believe are very realistic and achievable assumptions sitting here today. And I'd have to say, given the predictability of our cash flows, we have a high degree of confidence around this guidance. As we've already paid out 5.85 cents in the first half, this guidance reflects a quarterly distribution rate of a bit over 3 cents, or 3.075 cents, for the next two quarters, or a 5.1% increase on the first half distribution rate. I should note that the FY17 distribution guidance is premised on an underlying payout ratio, which is consistent with previous years. So based on the new FY17 guidance of 12 cents, that represents an increase on last year of 10.1 cents. That's the highest increase in annual distributions I think we've announced since our IPO in June 13, and I hope that investors are very pleased with that outcome. With that, I'll now hand over to Gareth Winter to take us through the financial results in more detail.
Thanks, Bryce, and good morning, everyone. I'm going to run through a summary of Arena's half-year operating results and give you an update on the capital position. In addition to the information I will take you through, there is also some further financial information in the appendix to the presentation. If we turn to page 8 of the presentation, there is a summary of Arena's FY17 first half net operating profit with a comparison to the equivalent half year to December 15. For those that may be new to Arena, net operating profit is a key focus of the business and represents Arena's cash-based earnings and the source of distributions to investors. It's important to note that net operating profit excludes non-cash adjustments, the most substantial of which are the ongoing property and derivative valuations. There's a reconciliation of net operating profit to statutory profit in the appendix to the presentation. Notably, Arena's cash operating profit is up 12.5% on the prior comparative period. This result has been driven by growth in top-line revenue from investment in new ELC developments and through the rent review mechanisms, and whilst maintaining a stable expense structure. Arena's growth, as Bryce has mentioned, has tracked ahead of our expectations at the beginning of the year due to the strong market rent reviews, new investments and developments progressing ahead of schedule. The outperformance has allowed Arena to upgrade the FY17 distribution to 12 cents per security and represents distribution growth of 10%. Rental income is up by 11% compared to the prior half year. The key contributors were in the main the like-for-like rental growth from the base rent reviews and also the market rent reviews. These in averaged 4.9%. Arena has also continued to make prudent investments in ELC development opportunities and lease commitments on ELC developments as a significant contributor to revenue during the half year, which had a total capital investment of $28 million during the period. And the results have also benefited from the full period effect of income from development completed over the course of FY16. FY17 rental income growth is partially offset by $6 million of asset sales, which occurred at the back end of FY15, which did contribute some income into the December 2015 comparative period prior to the asset sale settlements. The funds from those asset sales were reinvested back into Arena's development pipeline. I'll also note there that the line item on other income includes the fees from managing our two healthcare property syndicates. Looking at the expense section, operating expenses remain in line with our expectations and are relatively stable, notwithstanding the 21% increase in asset value since December 2015 and the 30% increase in assets since June 2015. It's important to note that Arena does continue to invest in resources to accommodate the substantial growth in the business. The operating expense line includes things like staff salaries, occupancy costs, IT, as well as usual trust expenses such as registry, custodian, ASX fees, insurance, etc. Direct property expenses also remain stable, notwithstanding the significant growth in assets. Borrowing costs, they're remaining quite stable, despite the fact that we've had higher average borrowings in the funding of our development pipeline during the period. They remain stable, which is really due to the reduction in Arena's effective borrowing costs over the past 12 months, primarily due to the benefit of the refinance, which we completed 12 months ago in December 2015, which extended the average debt term and reduced costs. As well, there's been some benefit from general decline in market interest rates over that 12-month period, albeit we've now started to see some reversal in longer-term rates with interest rate activity in the US. As mentioned, distribution guidance has been upgraded. Payout ratio, we expect to remain stable at around that 98%, which is in line with past practice since the IPO back in June 13. If we turn to page 9, EPS growth drivers, this chart really just illustrates the EPS effect of the matters I've already mentioned. Unsurprisingly, the significant contributions are from the like-for-like rental income growth and also the investment in new LCs. We've got then a small benefit from interest rates and offset by asset sales and underlying costs of operating the business. If we turn to page 10, here we've got a summary of financial position. Key points to note, total assets have increased by $70 million since June through a combination of the strong asset revaluations, $43 million for the half-year period, as well as a further $28 million invested into ELC developments. The net asset have also gone up significantly, and that's primarily due again to the asset revaluations as of December. What we've seen over time is a sustained increase in NAV per security, as illustrated in that chart, and that's averaging 16% over the course of the last 4 years. Whilst gearing remains relatively modest at this point in time, we are quite comfortable in the range that's currently sitting in comparison to our maximum gearing range of circa 35-40%. This is allowing Arena to take advantage of new opportunities as they come available to us. If we turn to page 11 on capital management. Again, we've got a summary here. There is further information in the appendix in particular in relation to the hedge book. Arena continues to take a prudent approach to capital management. We have some areas of key focus in the first half. Primarily liquidity management. This included a $30 million expansion of Arena's debt facility to accommodate new investment opportunities that arose during the half. Arena consistently maintains committed facilities in excess of its development pipeline commitments to reduce funding risk, whilst maintaining capacity to fund new investment opportunities. The facility increase was actually agreed during the half year. Christmas kind of then got in the way, and ultimately documentation was executed once everyone came back to work post-Christmas in early January. Hedge cover has been extended during the half. We want to maintain at around that 70% mark as our preferred level in order to minimise fluctuations in our interest costs over time. And Arena's DRP also remains open to provide additional funding for the development pipeline. Including the effect of the expanded facility, Arena's weighted average cost of debt has been quite stable. We've actually seen a continuation of the gradual reduction as it's fallen by a further 10 bips since June 16 and now stands at 3.75%. A couple of things I'd also note is that Arena has no debt maturity for 2 years after we extended debt facility terms 12 months ago, and Arena operates well within its debt facility covenants, as shown by the low gearing and also the interest cover, which is greater than 6 times. I will now hand over to Rob DeVos, who will take us through an update of Arena's property portfolio.
Thanks, Gareth, and good morning, everyone. Before moving into the detail of the portfolio performance for the half, I thought I would reiterate our investment strategy for the portfolio is, of course, focused at every point maximising shareholder value. A portfolio consists of high-quality social infrastructure assets. We believe that the macro theme of our community's growing need for childcare and healthcare services underpins good opportunities for strong real estate returns as compared against traditional real estate sector investments. We have a focus strategy for our portfolio that includes preferred property characteristics such as long leases, assets that have strategic importance to the tenant, high-quality tenant covenant, our tenants being responsible for the management of costs associated with maintaining and operating those properties, and ensuring our team has the skills to effectively manage reversionary risks. Whilst much of the portfolio is passive in nature, we pride ourselves on the proactive management approach, which continues to deliver predictable earnings with the opportunity for growth. Moving on to our achievements for the half, portfolio highlights, and as Bryce mentioned, it has been an active 6 months, and I'm pleased to report another strong performance update from the portfolio, thanks to the quality of the assets and the active and disciplined approach of Arena's investment and asset management team. In testament to the quality of the portfolio and strength of our tenant partnerships, we've again achieved a 100% lease renewal rate. The average rent review increase across the portfolio for the half was 4.9%, and market reviews undertaken in the period were completed at 5.8%. 12 leases were renegotiated to allow for early access to market rents and allow both Arena and the tenant access to longer tenure. We completed a record number of developments in the half, 7 in total, all with sustainable rents in strong catchment areas. And in a challenging origination market, we've added 5 exciting ELC development projects to the pipeline. As a result of these activities, the portfolio metrics are again market-leading and enhanced as compared to our own previous reporting period. The portfolio remains 100% occupied. The predictability and longevity of our underlying cash flow has been enhanced with a WALE extended to 10.6 years, and only 6% of rental income is now expiring before June 22. The portfolio was revalued in December, resulting in an uplift of $43.5 million, or 8.4% for the half. And pleasingly, our early learning centre operators are more profitable in aggregate than the same time last year, with rent-to-gross operating revenue ratio stable at a relatively low 10.3%. In other words, rental affordability for our tenants remains strong. Moving on to the next slide, lease expiry profile on page 15. We've worked hard in the half to further improve the defensive characteristics of the portfolio. As mentioned, the WALE for the portfolio has been extended to 10.6 years. It's up from 9.7 years at June. This increase is due to the successful completion of seven lease renewals, 12 lease renegotiations, as well as the completion of 7 new developments with longer than average initial lease term durations. You can see in the graph on the left-hand side that we have no expiries until financial year 20, and as mentioned, only 6% of income is expiring in the next 5 years. It is also worth reiterating that typically the fund's ELC leases have a 5-year option exercise notice period, requiring the tenant to commit or otherwise to the property in a time frame that allows the landlord 5 years to maximise its reversionary value. On the right-hand side graph, you can see the improvement in WALE at the financial reporting date since listing in 2013. These ongoing improvements in the WALE have eventuated for a number of reasons. Firstly, the quality of the portfolio, 97% of which is purpose-built, continues to attract our tenants to take up additional tenure. Secondly, our relationships with our tenants are strong, which has allowed for opportunities to renegotiate leases early. And thirdly, our development programs have long initial lease terms of between 15 and 26 years. Moving now to the rent review profile next page. The graph on this page demonstrates the simplicity and the comparative advantage the portfolio's rent review profile is providing investors. For financial year 17, and working down the first column of the graph, 54% of the portfolio's rental income was reviewed in the first half. The average rent increase for those reviews was 4.9%. In the second half, there's 3% of the portfolio that is subject to a market review. Each of these reviews are collared at a 0% increase and capped at a 7.5% increase. Only 5% of the portfolio is subject to CPI, and 38% is subject to either a fixed or CPI greater than 2.5% review. Importantly, this ratchet or floor protects an exposure to the low CPI outcomes that many commercial and childcare leases are currently exposed to. The takeaway point here is that the vast majority of our leases have a minimum 2.5% ratchet on annual reviews, and this structure is a significant comparative advantage against portfolios that don't have a minimum threshold of rent. Looking forward for the next 2 years, again, there's a high degree of predictability, with 88% of the income in FY18 and 68% of the income in FY19 subject to a fixed or minimum 2.5% rental review. In summary, the portfolio's rent review structures are working to provide growth and highly predictable, transparent underlying cash flows. Moving to valuation movements on the next slide. In total, the portfolio value as of December was up $43.5 million, or 8.4% for the half year, to $563 million. 38 properties were subject to an independent valuation, with a balance subject to direct evaluations. The primary driver of the increase in value was the compression in market yields of 40 basis points. In the graph on the right-hand side of the page, you can see the compression in our ELC and healthcare passing yields over the last 4 years. A major contributor to this is the growing acceptance and maturity of the social infrastructure asset class. It is worth making the point that we continue to see the disconnection between the real property market and formal valuations. The private investor market continues to be highly liquid for relatively low value assets. To this end, we have compiled a database of the sale of childcare centres since 2012. Some headline yield analysis from this database is included in the appendix. In summary, it provides that yields have reduced a further 50 basis points in the last 6 months and now typically ranging between 5 and mid-6% along the eastern seaboard. Moving to the next slide, portfolio diversification on page 18. Diversification is one of our strategic objectives to improve the risk-return profile of the portfolio. Geographically, the portfolio weighting to Victoria and New South Wales is increasing as a result of development activity being more heavily focused in those states. The portfolio's metropolitan weighting remains weighted in favour of metropolitan properties. This, again, will further increase due to a large proportion of our development activity being centred there. The portfolio now has a diversified tenant base of 19 tenants, with roughly a 60-40 split of for-profit and not-for-profit. Our largest tenant is the largest childcare provider in the country, a good start, that continues to maintain a very strong balance sheet. We've introduced YMCA to the portfolio and increased weighting to Oxander and Greenleaves, all of which has provided for a reduction in the concentration to our top three tenants from 79% to 71% since December 15. Moving to the next slide. Before discussing the detail of our development completions and pipeline, I thought it would be useful to reiterate the factors that are critical to our development investment decisions. Arena has now built up a market-leading reputation in ELC development activities across the country. We've completed 18 developments in the last 3.5 years, all with very healthy development margins. We are proud of the innovation and diversity of our projects, and most importantly, the ability for our team to complete them efficiently. We've been there to take advantage of population shifts and government investment activity in regional growth areas. We've pioneered the conversion of unloved city fringe showrooms in Melbourne into what are now well-performing and highly regarded ELC operations. We've facilitated innovative ownership structures, as is the case in the recent integration of new ELCs into 6 new Victorian primary schools. Whilst there is innovation and diversity in our development projects, there are fundamental characteristics that each of our completed and future developments are designed to have in common. favourable physical locations, which allows our tenant partners a comparative advantage over competition. Examples of this are on major thoroughfares or integrated into other community uses. Supportive demographics. Arena's analytical tools are market leading and allow for informed investment decisions for us and our prospective tenants. Arena's lease terms. Arena's long-term triple net lease structure that provides for high security requirements, reporting provisions from the tenant, and long-term option notice periods protects long-term value. Partners of choice, we have strong relations with our tenant base, which enables us to move quickly with development programs. Purpose-built flexible design, maximising operator efficiency by designing rooms to best suit child-to-educator ratios now, as well as the flexibility to change configuration in the future. Perhaps most importantly, we strive to ensure that our tenant rents are sustainable, using measures in our development feasibilities that provide us a high level of comfort that the tenants won't be stretched over a 15% rent-to-revenue ratio, as we are acutely aware that maintaining sustainable rents drives the longevity of our investment returns to our shareholders. Moving on to the developments that we have completed in the half, pleasingly, we are ahead of schedule in our target of completing 8 projects for financial year 17, with the successful completion of 7 projects completed in the first half. 5 of the 7 are Tranche 1 ELC projects for the State of Victoria, which are each 104-place centres integrated into new Victorian primary school sites in Victoria's fastest-growing new communities. In each instance, Arena negotiated a 26-year peppercorn ground lease, facilitated and managed the design and construction, and subleased the centres to YMCA for the duration of the ground lease. The other two centres that were completed in the half were in regional Victoria, where the state government has made investments that have promoted further population growth, particularly geared at young families. Consistent with our development criteria, we have focused on achieving sustainable rents for our tenants, favourable physical locations and supportive demographics. In total, we have created 750 new long-day places in undersupplied communities. Looking forward to our development pipeline on the next slide, we continue to see a steady, disciplined, or continue to maintain, I should say, it's a steady, disciplined program of development activity aimed at delivering efficient earnings growth with an acceptable level of risk. In total, we have a pipeline of $57 million that we anticipate providing a yield on cost of 7.1%, which is a transparent yield on all costs, stamp duty, holding costs, consultants, construction, etc. This reduction in yield from previous years is a result of continued strong competition in real estate markets, as well as our focus on predominantly New South Wales metropolitan projects. In the graph on this slide, we've illustrated the types of structures where we currently see the best risk-reward for capital investment. Given the current strong investment markets, buying developed leased assets on our preferred lease terms does not provide an appropriate reward for the risk. Typically, we are seeing assets in this category sell between 4 and 6%. On the other end of the scale, speculative development, that is without either a pre-committed tenant or appropriate planning in place, whilst higher returns are theoretically available in this category, the reward for risk balance is currently not compelling. Instead, we are focusing our investment activities in the light blue shaded area of the graph, which are fund through and takeouts, where the tenant takes on much of the planning and construction risks. And the other category is projects where Arena originates the site, secures the tenant and constructs. Typically in this category, we acquire sites in undersupplied catchments on a conditional basis, subject to achieving planning, and use that time to secure our preferred tenant partner. You can see in the table below the graph that our pipeline has 3 projects with an anticipated cost of $18 million being undertaken on a fund-through and take-out basis, with an anticipated yield on all costs of 6.4%. Importantly, on these projects, the lease is in place and all costs expended on the development attract an immediate rentalisation at an average rate of 6.4%. We have a further 9 projects with a total cost of $39 million, an anticipated yield on cost of 7.5%, for which we have originated the site, secured our preferred tenant, and take on calculated construction and delivery risk. Of the 12 properties in our development pipeline, we anticipate one further project completing this financial year, with 11 remaining targeted for completion in FY18. All sites in the pipeline are now settled with our desired planning approvals in place and all with our preferred tenants on our preferred long-term triple net lease structure. Geographically, our pipeline is weighted to New South Wales and Victoria, the two growth states. Moving on to the next slide, demand driven by positive macro thematics. The intention of this slide is to provide a high-level overview of the demand drivers of the sectors that we are invested in. From a macro level, relative to other real estate sectors, childcare and healthcare real estate continues to show positive underlying fundamentals for investment, which is underpinned by consumer demand and favourable government policy support. Australia has a growing population with a 30% increase estimated by 2036. A lot of this is focused in metropolitan Victoria, New South Wales. 2036 sounds like a long way off, but when you consider it in the context that over 30% of our current leases will still be on foot, it sounds a lot closer. Society's needs, values and expectations are also changing, which is driving an increase in double income families in the workforce. This is good news for childcare. Across the country, we are seeing both the number of children and the hours that they are in care increasing as a result of higher workforce participation and better recognition of the socialisation benefits early learning provides to young children. We also have an ageing population and a high proportion of the population living with chronic illness, such as heart disease, diabetes and obesity, driving the need for healthcare services. These macro themes are requiring governments to move away from the traditional public purse pays, and instead government policy is now focused on facilitating efficient delivery of these services by private markets and measuring the success of incentivising policies by the economic productivity gains that they provide. It is our view that Arena REIT is well positioned to take advantage of these long-term macro demand drivers. Looking forward to the market outlook on the next slide. As I'm sure you're all aware, the federal government has announced measures to further subsidise access for Australian families to childcare of up to another $3 billion. But in doing so, they will reduce the rebate for higher income families. This package is designed to further incentivise lower and medium income families to go back to work or increase their working hours. Despite some political challenge presently, it is our view that the Jobs for Families childcare package will pass in Senate. In relation to supply, ELC supply, and I think Arena took a lead in informing the market of the level or potential new supply in the Australian childcare market. Our view really hasn't changed. Our view is that the current increase in supply has been, for the most part, taken up by latent demand and increased participation, but we continue to watch it very carefully. Our concern on ELC supply remains that in growing instances, it is being speculatively placed in an area, both metro and regional, without a deep understanding of the catchment and therefore creating heightened operator viability risk. We remain of the view that there are still strong risk-adjusted returns that can be made from adding new childcare into the system as long as rigorous investment analysis is undertaken, and that analysis continues on through the life of the investment. From a healthcare perspective, we've seen a number of healthcare providers look at moving real estate off balance sheet in an effort to expand their network to take advantage of the growing need for healthcare services. These transactions have and will continue to be keenly sought after in the marketplace, just having the effect of further firming in real estate yields in this sector. To continue with the summary and outlook, I'll now pass you back to Bryce.
Well, thanks, Rob, and just sort of conscious of time getting on. So Arena's had a very strong first half result with continued good rental growth, strong property revaluations throwing through the whole portfolio, the completion of 7 development projects delivering accretive earnings, and those earnings will be more evident in the second half of this year. And development pipeline's been replenished with 5 new projects to be brought on stream over the next 18 months. So Arena continues to deliver what I'll call market-leading earnings growth and superior earnings underlying property performance compared to other REITs on many metrics. And that's all in context of generating very stable and predictable underlying cash flows from the investment portfolio. Just moving on to slide 26. And as I mentioned earlier on, as a consequence of that improved earnings outlook, the Arena Board today has announced an upgrade in the FY17 distribution guidance and now expects to pay 12 cents per security for the FY17 financial year. And lastly, the last slide I thought I'd just sort of summarise what I thought were, I guess, some of the underlying factors which are really driving Arena's strong performance. Of course, the first one of those is really the nature of the underlying property portfolio and their strong long net lease structure that's generating the predictable cash flows. There's obviously very favourable underlying macroeconomic and social and demographic trends supporting the demand for these services. Arena has leveraged its knowledge across the property market to identify and secure site locations, which really form the basis of working with quality operators to fully realise the potential of those opportunities. Arena has an internalised management model, which we believe is superior to other externalised management models from this perspective of management accountability and governance, and of course, we don't suffer the issue of fee leakage out to an external manager, you know, who generally are rewarded for growth rather than being more aligned to investor performance. And lastly, the active management of our balance sheet. That's important from the point of view of capacity for new investment, liquidity, but also managing financial risk through the vehicle. So in summary, Arena's really actively managing what I'll call a largely passive property portfolio to really identify value creation opportunities for its investors. So with that, I'll now hand to questions. Rachel, are you there? Hello, Rachel. Can we go to questions, please?
Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press the pound or hash key. Your first question comes from the line of Lou Pirenc from Morgan Stanley. Please ask your question.
Hey, good morning, guys. A few questions for me. Gareth, first one for you. In the last few years, your operating cash flow has been ahead of your operating income. This half, it was, I think, about a couple of million below. So can you just talk through that?
Sure. It really is a matter of some timing, particularly around the payment of recoverable expenses on behalf of our tenants, particularly land tax. So it's primarily timing, and you'll see that if you look at the cash flow statements in that payments to suppliers section, the bulk of that number actually relates to recoverable expenses. Also impacting on it slightly, you can't really see it, it's a bit of a nuance, is around the timing of the receipt of income of the rent. Sometimes we get it on the 30th of the preceding month, sometimes it arrives on the 1st of the month, so it's kind of a bit of that timing also having to happen in the same period. It's a bit difficult in a half year because you're comparing 2 6-month periods which aren't actually connected, which makes it a little bit tricky to follow. I think the important thing to note is that all our tenants are completely up to date. We have no rental arrears. And all cash has been received.
Great. And then on your debt facilities, I mean, you increased the facility, but you didn't use that to kind of increase your weighted average debt expiry. Is that something you're planning to do in the next 6 to 12 months?
Yeah, I think we've previously mentioned that we are looking and continue to look at longer dated debt options because it really fits in with the length of the WALE of the portfolio. So we've been working kind of behind the scenes over the last 6 months with a couple of potential lead managers, as well as really educating debt market participants and looking at the debt options that we have. When we go to market on something like this, we really don't want to turn up cold and try and explain who we are. So we're really going through an education process at the moment with the right people, such that when we do go out with something, they'll actually know who Arena REIT is and will understand our business better.
Great. Final one for Rob. What's the average of the fixed increases that you have coming up in the next year and a half?
We sort of lump the fixed in with the minimum of the 2.5% there, Lou. But you know, looking forward, we have an extraordinary 6 months, so I wouldn't be suggesting we use that. So you know, in the order of that 2.5% is kind of where we should be.
Some of those fixed increases are threes, yeah.
Yeah, we've got threes, fours and fives, but it's such a small amount of them. It's the 2.5 is certainly the predominant.
All right, once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. Again, to ask a question, you may press star 1 on your telephone. There are no further questions at this time.